Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The names that are being thrown out there by the experts, we want to learn a little bit more about these guys. And to do that is our pal from PhiladelphiaEagles.com, a local legend. And hey, you're better than Kuiper and McShay, Fran Duffy, because you know just as much, and you're not annoying like those guys.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Freddie!
What's up, Mike?
Well, brother, waiting on you to educate us, man. Educate us. This has been a little bit of a different year, right? Obviously, the Eagles are coming off winning the Super Bowl. Not used to picking at the last pick in the first round. Being defending champions, not many glaring holes or needs when you look at the starting 11 on both sides of the ball. So that sort of leaves sort of a wide spectrum of players that the Eagles could be looking at as a possibility. When you look at players that'll be in that range, right? I guess you can go anywhere 25 to 35, somewhere in that range that could possibly fall to the Eagles. Who are some of the guys? Let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Let's start on my side of the ball. Let's start with linebackers. Yeah, let's start with linebackers. What type of linebacker could we be? Could we have an opportunity to get if he's available there and would be a good fit with what the Eagles do?
Well, I think really it comes down to two names that are being talked about on the back end of the first round. The first is Rashawn Evans. I know you're a big fan of Rashawn Evans,
yeah,
from Alabama. He's a big kid. He's 6'2". He's 232 pounds. Former outside backer in their 3-4 scheme. So he was used as a pass rusher when he first got there. But they saw, you know what, this guy has more potential on the inside, is more of a stacked off-ball linebacker. So that's what they did. They moved him more inside going into his junior season. And you could kind of see there were some growing pains that came along with that early on in his career there. But then this year as a senior, it really all came together for them, and he was a big part of why they were able to secure a national championship. He's tough. He's got improving instincts, and I love his ability to come downhill and play off of a block. So Rashawn Evans is certainly a name that would be in the mix there as a linebacker. And then the other one to watch would be Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State. And if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, there's probably no chance that this guy is going to be there. But you're starting to see a lot of reports now. Chris Mortensen from ESPN has talked about it. A lot of other big-name draft analysts have talked about, you know, this neck injury he had 2 years ago, his sophomore season at Boise State, and how that may affect him and how he's valued. Some teams have completely taken him off the board completely, others not so much. So as you guys know, it only takes one team to really like you. But Leighton Vander Esch is a guy that I'm a huge fan of. He's got NFL size, was extremely productive this year, very instinctive player both against the run and the pass. He's always where he needs to be. He's a plus athlete as well. He tested extremely well at the combine, great off the field. So you're checking a lot of boxes there with Leighton Vander Esch. If he's cleared medically, chances are he's going to be off the board. But you never know. It's the NFL draft, and one of those guys could fall.
Yeah, you and I remember I came down there, and we sat and watched a lot of film on Leighton Vander Esch. And you're talking about a big kid that, for his size, plays well in space. It's a stack backer. You certainly hope that medical situation works itself out, because that's a guy. Somebody's going to get a good football player if he can remain healthy. Let me ask you about another guy who has a little bit of a medical condition on the defensive line. Another guy that I like, Maurice Hurst. What do you think about him as a player?
I'll tell you, just based off pure talent, Maurice Hurst is a top 10, top 12 player in this draft. Extremely explosive interior pass rusher. A guy that finished his career with 13.5 sacks, only a one-year starter, but 32 tackles for loss. Extremely disruptive on the back end, behind the line of scrimmage. And what I love about him is his first step, his ability to anticipate the snap. He's always one of the first guys off the ball for the Wolverines, and he's a high motor player. To me, he would fit really well in the culture that they've built here in Philadelphia in terms of the defensive scheme. He's a sideline-to-sideline player. I think he competes very well against the run. He needs to get a little bit bigger and stronger. 292 pounds. We'll see if he'll be able to hold up against double teams on a consistent basis at the NFL level. But now there's all these whispers about what happened at the combine. So he went out to the combine in Indianapolis, out in February, and the reports were that he had an irregular EKG result with his heart. But then he goes back home, he goes to Michigan, he goes to Harvard. It seems like reports from the media said it was cleared by doctors on both ends. He was not asked to come back for the medical recheck at the combine. Everybody thought, all right, he's good. Now we feel good putting him in mock drafts in the top 15. Well, since then, over the last week or so, you're starting to see a lot of big-name media personalities, Mike Mayock, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, take him out of the first round. And so depending on what they're hearing, again, it only takes one team, but it seems like everybody in the media feels that he may fall. So it'll be really interesting to see if he's snagged up. He is an outstanding prospect, got the ability to play. To me, he would be an outstanding fit in Philadelphia because of his playing style, but the medical can absolutely play a part.
All right, talking to Fran Duffy, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Give me two corners that will likely be there and could be taken at 32 that are being mocked to the Eagles, and tell us about them.
Yeah, I would say Mike Hughes from Central Florida and then Jair Alexander from Louisville. Alexander, to me, probably has a chance to go a little bit higher. Some people think he's the best pure cover corner in this draft. And what I like about both players is that they've got inside and outside versatility and experience. Both guys have played in the slot at the college level, and that experience, I think, will serve them very well. Alexander's probably a little bit more athletic. He's got that makeup speed to be able to play vertically down the field, but also is very quick in and out of breaks. Mike Hughes is a little bit more quicker than fast. And that's why a lot of people think he's going to be more of a pure nickel corner at the next level. Only ran 4.53 at the combine. He's 5'10 and change. So with his lack of size and makeup speed, a lot of people feel he's probably best served on the inside. But what I love about Mike Hughes that maybe a little bit more than Jair Alexander is his competitiveness. This guy plays with an edge. You look at all these defensive backs on the Eagles roster, all of them are willing to come downhill, lay a hit on a ball carrier, and be a participant against the run. And Mike Hughes absolutely has that. Both guys can play the ball in the air. Both players, to me, are first-round quality players.
Well, Fran, running back. Ike and I kind of debated it. I think we'd both be happy with Geis. Sonny Michel, a little bit of a different back, but a couple of the guys are putting him there. Who do you like, and tell us about him?
Well, I think with both players, you just get kind of a different flavor. You know, Darius Geis is a tone setter. He is a really powerful, competitive, angry runner between the tackles. He's got the ability to play in any kind of system, and I think that scheme versatility will serve him well as well. His ability to work outside and inside. He's not as athletic as Sonny Michel, but Sonny Michel, look, both can impact third down. I think both of them catch the ball very well out of the backfield. I like Sonny Michel as a blocker a lot more. Sonny Michel is one of the best pass protectors in this class. He's got outstanding vision with the ball in his hands out in the open field. When they got him out in space, that's where he did a lot of his work. And when things were very well defined for him, he was able to create a lot of his own yardage out in space. Darius Geis between the tackles, though, you keep him square to the line of scrimmage and keep him downhill, that's where you start getting those comparisons to a Marshawn Lynch. You see a lot of those beast mode runs with Darius Geis. So it all depends on what you're looking for. Both guys have NFL talent. I'm going to be very intrigued to see where and how both of those guys go off the board on Thursday night or Friday.
Man, another position for us on that side of the ball, Fran, tight end. You know, obviously, you lose Brent Celek, you lose Trey Burton. I know we brought in Richard Rodgers, and you got Billy Brown, I believe his name is,
the young
guy from last year who was on the practice squad. But we may be fortunate that a couple tight ends, pass-catching tight ends, may fall to us in that area as well.
Yeah, it seems like the only tight end that's getting first-round buzz right now is Hayden Hurst from South Carolina. He's a little bit older. He's 24 years old, started his career as a minor league baseball player in the Pittsburgh Pirates system, but was very productive at South Carolina. He's a well-rounded player, very good hands, competes as a blocker, needs to get a little bit better in some areas in terms of his technical refinement. Obviously, only been playing football at a high level of competition for a couple of years, but there are a lot of options in this class at the top. You know, you look at Mike Kosicki from Penn State, an outstanding athlete, a former volleyball player who can go up. He can slam dunk a basketball. Really talented pass catcher who can work in all three areas of the field. Dallas Goedert, to me, is one of my favorite players at the position in this class. He's very well-rounded as well. Outstanding ball skills. Really compares to me to another former first-round pick, Kyle Rudolph out of Notre Dame. He can do everything that you need in an NFL offense. And then Ian Thomas from Indiana is another name that's gotten some buzz. He's got NFL size and athleticism, catches the ball very well. So to me, there are four players that are going to go in that first, second round range that I think are really intriguing options at the position.
Great draft coverage at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Mm-hmm. by everybody, but especially Fran Duffy. Follow him on Twitter, F Duffy, and the number 3. Appreciate it, man.
Hey,
and,
Franny, hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Are they going to let you in the new draft room, Franny? I got a chance to see that thing on Twitter. I'm like, my goodness. That thing looks nice.
They could frost the glass from the inside. So I could stand on the outside and look in, but with a click of a button, I'm not able to look in there anymore. So it's really exciting stuff going on upstairs.
You're not in between Joe Douglas and Howie?
No, I'm not, guys.
All right. Maybe a couple years, Fran.
Down the road. Just give it time. Down the road.
Thanks, Fran. Appreciate
it. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, Fran Duffy. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, man. You see that new war room? They can frost the glass. So instead of pulling down the shade, they just frost the glass and you can't see in there.
So you know what it is? I've been in the urgent care way too often. You can do it with them. You hit a light switch and it frosts it.
Oh, see, I've never seen that before.
And then you put it down and it makes it clear and you can look out into the waiting room.
Space age.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to go to the urgent care. So at 1 o'clock, baby's up yelling, right, wants food or whatever. And so, you know, my wife goes and tends to her and she puts her back to sleep. So I go downstairs to get something to drink and my carpet's kind of slick on the steps. Mm-hmm. And I had, like, my pants were long, my pajamas were long, so it went down over my heel.
Yeah.
And, man, I – you know what?
Or like a grunge, like the grunge people used to wear their jeans.
Well, they're just –
they walk on the back of their jeans.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably longer than it should be.
Right.
You remember what's the movie with Home Alone? Remember Home Alone where he's setting all the traps for Joe Pesci and whatever? And it was that, like, out of Home Alone.
So you slipped down.
And I went up in the air, and I landed on my back and my elbow. My elbow is cut and bruised, and then my back was already bruised when I left today. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to perform tonight.
Like, where's the first? We'll perform where?
Wednesday's kind of one of our nights, our week night.
What do you mean? At the house?
Perform. I do a performance once on the week. And once on the weekends.
Hold up.
As Tom Bigby once said, twice on the weekend.
John, I got to say something here. You know I have no filter, right?
Hold on.
I will share anything.
I'll share anything, too. I don't care.
Did we really need to know?
Ike was swinging from the chandelier two months ago.
Yeah, that was anniversary. Yeah, that was anniversary.
As Tom Bigby once said, once during the week and once on the weekends.
Are we getting like a post-game report tomorrow? I mean, this is ridiculous.
No, I actually do want a post-game report tomorrow. Yeah, I do want a post-game report.
No, but seriously, like I may have to loosen up, but I don't know if I'm going to – because
Well, hold on. Let me.
Hold on. I don't want to say I'm really stiff right now because that may come off.
Yeah, that wouldn't help the situation.
But
my
back is very stiff.
Yeah.
Sniff.
Well, sometimes. Right, well, you know. I don't even want to go down this road, man. No, you do.
You're just trying to talk yourself out of it.
Well, but I want to. You're married, so I need to remain respectful to the sanctity of the marriage and the privacy of the marriage, which you clearly have just ignored.
No. Listen, wait. Because I'm saying that normally Wednesday's normally a night during the week. And if we're going to have some alone time that we do, sure. It's a given during the weekend once or twice. Mm-hmm. But during the week, listen, I'm a healthy man.
Well, how does she feel about
this?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.